How many of us can relate to the experience in our gospel reading of having to frantically search for something important? Excellent. Oh, look at that. That is pretty much a universal experience, isn't it? Shout out, just what are some of the things that you've lost that you've had to front? Keys? Passport? Glasses? Tools? Husband? Bus pass? I've misplaced my wife once or twice in Westfield, but we know what it's like, don't we? We kind of have that common and shared experience of what it feels like to frantically search for something because it is so important. And I thought that this morning we might try and recapture that experience a little bit for ourselves, but instead of kind of using keys or something, I thought we'd use some of these. So this is a chocolate coin. It is a very big one, see, correct. And I have hidden or lost three giant chocolate coins somewhere in this building. And I'll give you a clue. It's in the seating area. And what I would like you guys to do is I would like you to frantically search the church. And if you find it, you get to keep it and eat it. Now, folks at the back on the benches, don't think I have left you out. I would check under there as well. Off you go. There are three to find. Oh, there's one. We've got one. We've got two. We've got one more to find. One more to find. Keep going. Check those seat backs. Check the benches. Lift up the flaps on the benches if you haven't already. Have a good look. There we go. I just make sure you've lifted up all of the benches. Oh, yes, there we go. Excellent. Grab a seat. Now, I'm impressed. You know, I'm doing this again at 10:30. And I am, look at that. Jeffrey is well made up. I will be sharing. You can eat it. It's yours. It might make the wine and bread taste a bit funny later, so you might want to wait till the coffee break. But, well, it's great. I can tell the 10:30 crowd they've got something to live up to in their searching. Now, I know that it is a silly illustration, but hopefully what it serves to remind us is that when there is something important to be found, even if it's just chocolate, we put a huge effort into finding it, don't we? We sense the urgency of the task. And that's a familiar human experience. It's something we can all relate to, isn't it? But why does Jesus draw upon this particular human experience in these two parables? Well, I think he does it because God's mission is about searching for something far more precious than chocolate or sheep or coins. God's mission is a search for each of us. And that is what the Pharisees needed to hear and understand. The opening couple of verses that Peter read to us give us the context of what's going on. Verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." You see, these parables, familiar stories to us, are a response to the religious elite questioning Jesus' mission. They're sitting there going, why is he hanging out with all of these unclean, unreligious folks? What sort of rabbi, what sort of teacher would do that? You can almost hear, can't you? And Peter did it beautifully as he read it. Their kind of disdain in their voice. Their kind of almost disgust at why Jesus would hang out with all the wrong people. And what they don't realize is that when they're questioning him, they're actually questioning the mission of God to the world. And Jesus counters their criticism, I believe, by showing them God's heart. Showing them that the motivation of the Father's heart is being played out in the work of the Son. How the most important thing to God is about things that are lost, people that are lost, being found. And in the parables, you know, as is often the case, we kind of, the significance of what Jesus describes doesn't translate as well to 21st century Britain as it did for first century Jerusalem. But a single sheep and a single coin back then had a much greater significance. And the Pharisees and those hearing them would have known that what Jesus was referring to were precious things. The sheep, key part of the farmer, the shepherd's livelihood. And that's in an age where farming is the main industry. And unlike today, where farming is on a really huge scale, where a farmer might have hundreds, if not thousands, of sheep as part of their flock, back then, flocks were much smaller. And every sheep represented the shepherd's capacity to eat, to provide for his family and his community. So just one being missing was a big deal. Similarly, the coin. And again, we hear that story and we think, well, just one coin, what's that all about? She still had nine. But many commentators would suggest that it was part of the woman's dowry, the payment that she would have made in getting married. And that losing just a part of it might have had big consequences for her ability to be married. And again, that's in an age where marriage was the way in which your security in life was provided for if you're a woman. I mean, hugely different, obviously, from today. So the sheep and the coin are precious and important things. But they're not just objects, they are keys to those people's survival and life. And they're lost. And in the stories, they're lost. And when they're found, the rejoicing is real and deep. It's not just happy that they found their pair of spectacles that were down the back of the sofa. And Jesus is quite explicit with the Pharisees and explains what the parable means. And I think that's interesting because elsewhere, Jesus tends to leave his parables out there. He maybe explains them a little bit to the disciples, but he really wants to hammer home the point to the Pharisees. Verse 7, he tells them, he says, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." He says, you want to know why I'm hanging out with these tax collectors and sinners? He says, I am here with them because just one of them repenting, one of them reorienting their life in God's direction, brings more rejoicing in heaven than 99 Pharisees who already know God. It's laid bare, isn't it? God's heart in this passage, his mission, his passion for the world, his desire for us, that people who are lost, people who don't know him yet, would be found, that they might know the love of God in their lives like we, his gathered family here this morning, do. And this kind of key bit of God's heart is a huge part of our mission as the local church to our bit of West Ealing, isn't it? Just a couple of Sundays ago, as we were hearing those resurrection stories, and in John's Gospel, John 20:21, Jesus says to his disciples, "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." We are a part of God's mission. We are a part of searching out the lost. It's not something that God does in isolation. It's something that he does with his body here on earth and with his body here in West Ealing. Now you might be wondering why of all the passages I might have chosen for my final Sunday, did I choose this one? What's its significance? Well, I'll be honest with you, the reason I chose it is actually quite simple. I've been here with you as part of this church for the last 4 years. And the only reason I have been here as part of you as for the last 4 years is because this passage is who God is. And it's who this passage and God's mission that other people did. And that's the only reason I am here, because God searched for me. Because God had other people on the search party looking. I had very little to do with my coming back to faith as an adult when I look back at it in hindsight. I did an Alpha course, but I did it because somebody asked me to. And actually, it wasn't a big dramatic thing. I was having coffee in the back of a church one morning, and they just said, "Oh, we're doing this Alpha course. Would you like to do it?" And I thought, yeah. I didn't have a burning desire to think about the meaning of life. Someone just asked me. And I went, oh, you know, that sounds like an all right sort of thing to do. And I realized, and I can look back now and go, that was somebody who understood God's heart, who understood God's mission. That's why they asked me, not because they wanted numbers on their Alpha course or their church to be big or anything like that, because they knew that I was someone who didn't know God very well, that I was lost, and that God's desire was that I was found. Ruth, can you just show everyone a famous painting, Holman Hunt, Christ, the Light of the World. When I did Alpha, this is one of the paintings that we show people as part of the course. And it's there, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And of course, there's no doorknob famously on it. You have to open the door yourself to let him in. It illustrates a bit from Revelation. And I remember when I'd seen this painting and kind of maybe a week or two later, I kind of had a moment where I realized that Jesus had been searching for me. All the years that I hadn't been in church in my early 20s, Jesus had been standing at the door. And not only had he been standing at the door, but he had been there a really long time. He had been there, in fact, the whole time. My life has been changed forever by a God who knew I was lost, a God who searched for me, a God who got other people on the search team until I was found. And a God who won't rest until he has searched out every last person on this planet. That's the God that we're worshipping, that we're gathered here to spend time with this morning. And I think we have to be careful to remember this about God. Because the danger is we could become a little bit like the Pharisees. You know, whenever you read the New Testament and you see the Pharisees, you think, big red warning light for what we can become as Christians if we're not careful. Because they are the religious folks of their day. You know, they didn't do it maliciously, but they just kind of got a misplaced picture of God. They thought that God, they thought it was all about what they did. They thought it was all about their own people who thought the same, who were exactly similar to them in their ethnicity. And I suppose the sort of version of that for us today is that perhaps we can think of church as somewhere that we just come for us. And that this whole mission business, well, that's kind of fine for those who really enjoy it. That's kind of something that other people do. Coming to church, that's just kind of, it's just about me and God and what I get from it, right? You know, it doesn't matter. You know, my neighbors, they don't need to. But that's what we've got to not slip into. And it's a danger because we can if we're not careful. We want to stay focused on God's mission. We want to stay focused on God's mission because it is at the heart of who he is. And our challenge is to get stuck in. It is to do and join in with what God is doing. Now, last week, if you were at our confirmation service, oh my goodness, if you heard the stories of our four candidates, from George, from Ben, from Alice, and Rose, each of those stories you would have heard, essentially that in different ways they were lost, and that God had found each of them. It was powerful. I think they're online. So, I mean, do go back and listen to them. And it was interesting because the bishop, Bishop Rick, who was here, at the end of the service, he pointed out that each of those stories had a common factor. He said each of those stories, each of their journey towards being found, involved a simple invitation, an invite to church, an invite to Alpha, something so simple that any of us are capable of doing it. And as our church, as we celebrate being here for 150 years, and as those celebrations are about to step up a gear as we get to the summer, there's never been a better time to invite people along to something. And every one of us is able to do this. There's no exceptions. We've all got what it takes, really, because it only involves a simple invite. And I know that's not always our comfort zone. I know it can feel a bit un-British. And you know, quite frankly, I feel as awkward as anyone does sometimes. But it's God's heart that we do it. And God has done incredible stuff in my life, in the lives of George, of Ben, and Alice, and Rose, of all of us here, often because somebody did a simple invite. For me, it was an invitation to Alpha. And that's my final prayer for us as a church, that we would continue to be people who see that in God's heart. That we see something of how God wants lost people to be found, and that we join in with his mission. Amen.